Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. For businesses, cash visibility is more important than ever. In today's podcast, we're exploring the strategies that businesses are using to enhance their cash visibility and the innovative solutions they're adopting to stay ahead. Joining me today is Leo Gill, VP of Product at Bottomline, and Albert Bildine, Director of Commercial at Javelin Strategy and Research. They're both going to discuss the future of cash management and offer insights into upcoming trends and technologies that are set to revolutionize financial operations. To kick things off, Leo, let's talk about the current economic environment. The focus on cash visibility is growing more intense, and as a result, businesses need to know what resources are on hand. Can you speak to how they're doing with this imperative?
Yeah, that's a great question. Definitely the recent, where we've seen a lot of changes have accelerated, right? So from interest rate changes, from different market conditions, from things like supply chain impact that we've seen recently. So that definitely has pushed to an elevation of the importance of cash visibility, but also to an elevation of the strategic role of the office of the CFO, right? The office of the CFO has really clear responsibility and ownership over cash management and cash visibility. And businesses are really seeing the positive impact of that attention and more focus on cash visibility, where they can see improved cash flows. You know, you can see reduced interest expenses or borrowing costs, and ultimately in maximizing results and returns by really moving funds and allocating them to investment accounts that drive better growth and profitability for companies.
Yeah, and this is my chance, Leo, to get on my bully pulpit about eliminating checks. And this becomes even more enhanced in an environment where we, you know, we get to those digital methods more often. I also wanted to add to what you said. You had a good comment about, you know, the position of CFOs these days. Yeah, the CFOs that I speak to in the Fortune 500 organizations, they're in a unique position. They know the financial elements of the business better than anyone, but they've also now become probably the key strategic people in the organization. So yeah, I think you make a good point about that. And obviously the visibility of these things helps them to do a much better job.
You both spoke to some of the obstacles that organizations are facing. Leo, how are businesses prioritizing and responding to these ongoing challenges?
Yeah, for the past few years, we've seen a much bigger drive towards simplicity in treasury groups, especially to get to an ROI of their technology investments quicker. So, you know, and of course, with tighter in budgets, it becomes even harder to really see the results and make big investments to see results quickly. So what we see a lot from treasury teams, it depends on the company. We've seen small companies who are really on top of getting cash visibility and making investments in that area, where we've seen potentially larger companies who are a little bit of laggards because of too many disparate systems and too much complexity in those companies. So I'll give you an example. One of the companies that we've worked with, so they are a hotel chain. The treasury department is really deeply involved in the business and helping drive better results for the business. For instance, if there is a natural disaster or if there are any new opportunities they have to invest in different areas where people are going to vacation more, the treasury team is involved with the business to make better decisions into how should they allocate capital in order to respond to problems or in order to really help drive more business quickly. So we've seen in those cases, but we've also seen other cases where, unfortunately, some groups are still working off of spreadsheets. They're still logging into multiple banking portals and extracting data and combining information between those banking portals and their ERPs. So it's, you know, it depends on the company and depends on their needs, but there's definitely a bigger push towards technology. And that's what we typically see. And ultimately, the biggest challenge for them had been that typically where companies trying to solve a problem like this, they come in with a big bang approach, right? Where they try to allocate a lot of resources to implement a really large system in the organization. And what we've seen recently is that the Treasury teams are becoming a little bit more impatient, I would say, where they're not willing to go through a long implementation or a long IT revamp within their company in order to see results.
Leo, I'm interested in your thoughts on two aspects of what you're saying. Are you seeing that the consumer side of the fence, is it influencing the commercial side? In other words, the simplicity that you mentioned, individuals wanting to get away from the mainframe look, if you will, of those treasury management system. I mean, are you seeing an influence from the consumer side that's causing that, or do you see other factors influencing?
No, for sure. Business innovation has always followed consumer innovation. Business innovation has always been a laggard to consumer innovation, but definitely as people are getting more used to technology and using more and more technology in daily lives for other applications, it's natural that they'll feel that they need more innovation and better technology in the business systems as well, which is a big problem with finance teams nowadays, is that if you talk to any CFO, they'll tell you that it's very hard to find talent. There aren't many new college grads who want to jump into treasury or finance. And in a lot of ways, using outdated technologies and not being up with modern technologies makes it harder for them to attract talent into those areas. So definitely you're spot on that the consumer innovation definitely has been a big impact into driving more business innovation. And as you said, just look at all of the applications we use as consumers. They're very simple, very intuitive, easy to use, right? They don't require a lot of training from a consumer part. So business applications are definitely going that direction and the business needs are following as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing I wanted to expand on, something that I'm seeing, you mentioned organizations, certainly large organizations have many banking relationships, and it's really important for them to be able to see a consolidated view of their cash position. I'm interested in your thoughts on this, though. As I've written about non-systemically important banks, I am seeing more and more organizations that are with mid-tier banks or even the smaller banks expand their relationships even further because of the limitations of deposit insurance. So I'm just wondering if you're seeing the same thing. Are you seeing where a company might have had three relationships that they now have 10 relationships, or is that not really the case?
That's absolutely the case. You know, even especially recently, as you're alluding to with the bank failures that we've seen, a lot of boards of companies have mandated that they diversify the relationships that they have with banks, right? So where in the past there was a movement towards less banks, you know, a lot of companies were trying to consolidate the number of banks that they were using just because of the level of complexity that it takes to manage multiple banks. What happened recently with the crisis in the financial sector, it pushed them the other direction, right? So that's where technology becomes more important. I'll give an example. So I carry this with me. I was speaking to one of our clients when they were working through a manual process, and they were telling us how long it took them to just a day-to-day operation. So for instance, just to aggregate, and this is a company who has had about 10 banking relationships, right? Which is not a lot, but definitely more than enough that a manual process can be complicated. They were doing, in order to aggregate bank statements, it was taking each person to about 2 hours a day. Then to generate cash positions and cash forecasts, another 3 hours a day. Then in order to generate liquidity forecast and reconciliation, another 2 hours for liquidity forecast, another 2 hours for banking reconciliation, right? So your day is pretty much over. So as a treasurer trying to become strategic and help your company make better decisions, most of your time is spent on operational tasks, right? So that's really what we see, is the manual processes and having to have multiple banks mandated to them by their boards. It makes it even more complicated, you know, in their daily lives in order to get their heads above the water and help their companies.
Yeah, it's huge. The visibility of the consolidated cash position is just profoundly important. So yeah, that's interesting.
Leo, as you were giving that example, the one word that kind of popped up was, that sounds really complex, right? And I feel like a lot of organizations are definitely feeling that type of like complexity. But as we know, they have to continue to be very agile. They have to adapt to all these changes. We've covered a lot of ground in terms of what the current state of this is, what the challenges are. But as we look ahead, what's on the horizon for cash management and cash visibility?
Yeah, no, great question. The way to look at cash management and cash visibility is that it's a means to an end, right? Ultimately, the end is for companies that are looking, or the office of the CFO is looking to become more strategic to really optimize working capital, right? That's really the end goal. So if you take as a journey from any company who already has started or is thinking about starting, is of course, it starts with cash visibility, where you need to have a consolidated view of all of your cash positions in an automated way. Gone are the days of logging into multiple banking portals and extracting information and combining into spreadsheets. That's not effective and doesn't really drive the business forward. Now, from that point, of course, once you have cash visibility, having that cash position, the next step is cash forecasting, right? So it's critical for any business to not just know how their positions are today or in the morning when they come to the office, but also how will the business be performing by the end of the day, by the end of the week, month, quarter, right? So be able to get a longer term view of where the business is going so they can make decisions quickly or prepare for potential pitfalls. And then, of course, the full automation of the financial function, right? Where if you think about the office of the CFO or finance teams, they all operate in a cycle, right? Is you're managing cash, you're managing payments, you're reconciling those payments, you're complying to mandates, you're making sure that your whole operation is working securely and your payments are secure, and you are essentially closing your financial period at that point, right? So some companies would do that monthly or quarterly. So that automation, where if you talk to a lot of finance teams, there's always a rush at the end of the month, at the end of the quarter, where everybody's trying to find information across different systems and ERPs and everything else, and try to combine all that data. There's always something that it's missing, and they're struggling to get to that end. Now, once you have that full automation, then finally, the finance teams and the office of the CFO can really start becoming more strategic, right? And, you know, can start helping their companies optimize working capital, which means if they have to make any decisions like an acquisition, if they have to make, like, you know, the hotel example, right? If they have to make investments across their business, how do they allocate cash for those investments? Should they borrow from a line of credit that they have at the bank? Should they move funds between accounts across different banks? If they're a global company, should they use currency conversion? So should they do any FX trading in order to allocate funds to the best place possible that they can minimize their expenses and react quickly to any business needs they have?
Leo, I believe that instant payments is going to make a huge impact, especially on cross-border payments, possibly by the end of this year. And from a cash position perspective, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that instant payments are going to make a big impact, or do you think it will maybe move the needle a little bit, but not necessarily change the situation beyond other digital means that we have right now?
Yeah. Well, for sure, it depends on the business, right? So you can imagine that in certain businesses would make a huge impact, right? And when I think about payments, I think about payments in a broader sense of payments. So, you know, imagine payments being, you know, payments to suppliers, right? Payments to payroll payments, but also any money movement you make ultimately turns into a payment, right? So if you have to move money into an investment account, if you have to borrow from a line of credit you have, ultimately those transactions, or if you have to move funds between, you know, accounts across different banks, right? Those transactions become payments. So of course, in certain businesses, be able to react quickly to moving funds and not waiting 3, 4, 5 days for payments to be settled or for that money movement to be settled can be really critical, right? So you can think of a number of different industries where, you know, the minute or second is really important. You know, anyone who's tied to any market conditions. So if you are in oil and gas, for example, you know, we do have some customers who are in that market, you know, be able to react really quickly to different changes in market conditions and be able to allocate funds quickly. And of course, instant payments can help them with that, right? They can easily make payments, or they can easily move funds across in order to respond to any changes or opportunities that they see.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that one, but the hedging element is probably the biggest. The currency fluctuations, it's a natural hedge position or a natural hedging tool. So yeah, interesting.
As we come to an end here, I want to throw out, Leo, if you have any final thoughts, any key takeaways that you want the listeners to walk away with?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the key takeaway is really that you know, the office of the CFO is getting more and more challenged by their organizations and the business to help drive the business forward, right? So the keywords are really simplicity and usability. You know, instead of focus on long, large systems and, you know, lots of features and functions, it's really to become agile and drive benefits to the business in an incremental way. That's really the key message everyone to be able to take away with. You know, there's this inversely proportional relationship between value and effort. If you think about it, especially from a technology perspective, you can get 80% of the value with 20% of the effort, and vice versa. Sometimes you end up getting, you know, 80% of the effort only drives you 20% of the value, right? So thinking in a more agile way to drive to ROI quickly is really what I hope that everyone in finance organizations are thinking about, because that's how they can help their organizations and businesses thrive.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective, and thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes, and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.